Cheers! Cheers! Well, it's that time again.
I'm Annie.
And I'm Susan.
And this is
Two Friends, One Chat.
Ooh. On video.
Okay, so that's what we're trying, a new platform. It sounds like maybe we're truly going to be on video. And also, this platform had a very cool countdown to start the recording. It was just five numbers, but it got real excited.
It really did. It kind of like darkened out the screen and it went five, four. I felt very professional.
Did it sort of feel like it was like a photo booth and we were going to do like five different shots? Oh, yes. You know what I mean? Like this thing, you know?
Oh, next time we're together, we have to find a booth like that. That would be so fun.
Yes.
Okay. I would love that. There's got to be some kind of filter you can do or something.
I love, yes. And then you get the strip and you tear it in half and we both get half.
Oh my gosh.
I'm excited already.
That's straight romantic and I'm into it. I love it. Well, we are very excited to be here.
So excited. Always. Mm-hmm, with each other and with you.
Yes. Yes. And today launches our first official episode of season 4.
What? Just every time.
Although
season 3 felt like that too. It was like, how did we do 3 seasons?
I know.
And here we are.
It's very exciting. Back again. And boy, is it a good time to be back again.
Yes, it's always a good time to be back. But maybe not always a good time in the world.
Which is what we get to talk about today.
Yes.
A lot has happened. And we want to thank listeners so much for the break. We both moved. That process isn't easy.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's like the best case scenario and you have all the money in the world and you do everything the right way, like moving is, boy howdy.
Ugh, hard. Yeah. That's what I have to say to that. A lot has happened politically. And more importantly, in policy. And I'm really excited to do kind of a check-in with listeners to do some reminders of how important it is to care for yourself and how important it is to stay involved. And how to do that and maintain your own well-being.
That is
not easy.
Tall order. It is a tall order to do all of those things. But important.
It is really important.
Because, you know, I think sometimes there are things that are hard that you can just like choose not to do. But this is the world we live in right now, and you can't just not participate in the world.
That's right.
So this is one of those hard things that we have to figure out how to handle, how to take care of ourselves so we can deal with it. So it's a rough one, but hopefully we can come up with some thoughts and ideas and tools to help people get through this time.
Yeah.
You know, deep breath. That's what helps me. That's always a good start.
Those stacked breathing. That's like my everything. You guys, stacked breathing. Hashtag throwback, but that's a 10 of 10 skill. And I think in a lot of ways, my hope is that you started maybe listening to this podcast earlier and have like ventured on your mental health journey. Because we talked about this kind of earlier on the podcast. I think even in season 1, where beginning your mental health journey and building those tools while things aren't at like threat level midnight is so important. So if you have been able and had the opportunity to do that and build those skills, that is going to help you immensely. If not, if you're just beginning your mental health journey, do not worry. You'll get there. You'll get there, and we still have time to build tools. But I think we're kind of at that threat level midnight time where it's so it's going to be of great value if you've had time to invest in your mental health.
It will make this. I don't want to say it'll make this time easy. This isn't going to be easy for anybody.
That's right.
But easier to handle those moments for sure if you have done some previous work.
Yeah.
That's right. But if not, you'll still get through this.
And we're going to get through it. That's right.
We have no choice.
And we will be positive change. Do you know what I mean? It's not just we're going to get through it. We are going to affect the world in a positive way.
Yes, that's
exactly right. I am saying that to manifest it and to remind myself that, you know, things are very, very difficult. And we have like a citizen's responsibility to do something. And that doesn't have to be, you know, dramatic and large. It can be actions like caring for your neighbors when like a hashtag throwback. That community, that's how we are going to be successful, is that investment in your community, caring for your neighbors, for your loved ones, checking in. Oh my goodness. Checking in, like calling your friends, like, hey, are you okay? You know?
And that is caring. I think sometimes we think to take care of someone, we have to like do something. But just a check-in can make the world of difference to someone, to know someone's thinking about them, to know that this person gets that what's going on is affecting me at a different level and just wants me to know that they care. So even something as simple as that can make a huge difference in someone's life.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And it's so true. Like, I mean, I think of the times, you know, and these are, again, this is like just a hashtag throwback episode.
The longer we do this, they all are.
It's just one big connected circle.
It all goes together.
It really does. But we've talked about, you know, the times that you're grieving and like reflecting on how do you be there for someone who is grieving, knowing that everyone grieves differently. And I just think of those times where I'm like, well, just meet their basic needs and make sure they know you're present. That's really all you can do. And I think that that really stretches over to times like this where we are in just a really hard time. Like, this is a very, very ungood time in our political history as a nation. And what's happening to individuals and families is horrific.
Yes.
And so I just think of, how do we meet people's basic needs and make sure that people know that we are present? And that, I think we kind of start there and then move more. And of course, like regionally, the actions are going to look very different for what people are doing. But
of course. And that's such a good point about grief, because I think a lot of this is scary, which puts us in that fight or flight mode. But I think there definitely is like a loss piece and a grief of, you know, for some people, it's a true loss of life, right? Or a loss of a person to this system, to this government that's truly taking people away.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's that piece. But then I think on kind of an outer level of those maybe not immediately affected by some of these policies, there's this loss of this, of like a nation that I thought I knew, or a place I thought we were going, and this total just kind of like, I have to kind of grieve for what I thought we were.
Yeah. Yeah.
And learn how to handle where we're at so I can fight to make it better again. Mm-hmm. So is that there is that level of grief. So I just wanted that. I think that was a great point to bring up for sure.
And I definitely think you're right. Like this, especially I think if you have lived your whole life through the white perspective, I think there has been a certain level of, you know, I almost think of it as like, you know how they say like rose colored glasses? Well, you can live through like almost like white colored glasses, right? You know, for a lot of people that are white, there has never come a time where they've ever taken those glasses off. And like, you know, whether it be because our education system, like all of these systems teach you to never take those glasses off, right? Like that is really right. ingrained in our system. So, but if you, I think if this is the first time you're really seeing, like, you know,
they're not even teaching you that you have glasses on because they don't want you to know you can take it off. So let's start there.
Perfect. Well,
that's said. Just vision. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, no,
it's not glasses.
That's how everyone sees. Yeah. That's how everyone sees. So I don't worry about it.
But there's a weird thing on my face, dude. No.
Nope. That's super normal. Keep those on. Oh my gosh. This is why I want people to have video because I think they're going to see like so much more of us, you know?
Yes.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Okay. To that grief point, if this is the first time those are starting to come off, that is a really hard thing. I want to honor that, even though, you know, like the frustrating piece is like those glasses should have never been there to begin with.
Right.
And societally, I recognize that that's real, like that is a real thing. But I think there is a grieving process. And sometimes if you don't honor that, if you're not like, oh my gosh, and process those, you won't end up on the other side. If I think a lot of times that causes people to put the glasses back on is like they don't want to feel that pain and shame and guilt.
Yes.
And so they right back on. Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's important. I don't care if you're 12 or 82.
Yeah.
Whenever you realize those are glasses, like I don't want people to feel like they've done something wrong if they didn't notice they had these glasses on.
Right.
Because it happened to me. I was in my 30s in grad school and it was like, oh shit, these are glasses and I need to take them off. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, don't feel bad that you didn't know and are just now recognizing it.
Yeah.
It's okay. They did a really good job at tricking all of us. So I just want to say thank you if you're realizing it now for even opening your eyes to realizing it. So,
yeah,
I just don't want people to feel bad. Like, I should have known. I should have figured this out sooner. Well, they're real good at what they do.
Yeah.
But you figured it out now. So come join us.
Take That's right.
glasses off and come join us.
And it's okay to feel painful and it's okay to feel ashamed because like you will probably look back on some behaviors and be like, oh, I fucked up.
Oops.
And that's okay. That's okay. Don't let that pain, like it's okay to feel pain and grief and loss. Don't let that pain reverse you to put the glasses back on because you can. And when you put the glasses back on, it becomes super easy to ignore what's happening. You know, like, and
those glasses come with blinders. I don't know if you knew that.
They do. Really huge, huge,
real
blinders.
Big blinders
that, by the way, hit people when you turn your face around. Like, they're damaging people just like a bull in a china shop. Like, just, but I think I really, this is hilarious. I really love this analogy we're running with because it is so true. Because all systems are set up for those glasses, right? Like they fit perfectly in. So if you put your glasses back on, it's so easy to slip back into, you know, like kind of all the systems and how they run. And so I really encourage people to be okay with the guilt, the shame, if you're going to be afraid too, because you're very vulnerable once you take those glasses off.
Yeah.
And It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so worth it. Because there's such a beautiful world around you and those glasses don't let you see it.
Right?
Yeah.
And it is. It's very scary. And I think that's why we're talking about this kind of self-care piece as well, is taking those off is huge. It's a big, big, big life change.
Yeah.
But I think then it also comes with like, well, what do I do? Which feels big and scary. And taking, it's scary outside of them for a while because you don't like, it's almost like when you're like watching a 3D movie and take them off, like nothing makes sense for us. Do you know what I mean? Like you need some time to adjust to not having those on, and that can be scary.
Yeah.
So you've got to use some of that self-care and checking in on yourself and other people so that you're less likely to try to throw them back on.
I love that. I love that. I think, you know, you and I were kind of chatting before we kind of, you know, jumped into recording, as we always do. And one of the things that I have found so relevant, again, hashtag throwback, is this concept of coping to care. And I think we would be so remiss if we didn't focus on the fact that the analogy is still true, right? You need to put your oxygen mask on before you can help other people. You know, the lifeguard, I love the lifeguard one because it's so intensely visual that like even rescuing someone and they're, you know, unconscious in your arms and you're trying to get them back to shore and you're coming up against a reef, you put that person in between you and the reef so that you're both not knocked out. That to me is like,
I've not heard that one before and it sounds awful, but so true.
It is awful, but it to me, it's like as a social servant, the most true thing you can visualize. And it is kind of intense. So apologies for the intense visualization, but that's what we're talking about when it comes to self-care. Like you have to do it because two unconscious people are both going to drown.
Right.
That's how important you are. And so it is a really intense
analogy. So we're not saying hurt other people to do self-care, just kind of talking about how important level-wise, how important it is to take care of yourself. It is on some level, I think truly, life or death to take care of yourself. For some people
100%.
That don't, it can spiral and turn into not really good, not good stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I see what you're saying. I'm not throwing someone else on a reef, but that's how important it is to take care of.
In some aspects, I think it can feel like that. Like, you know what I mean? Because.
Oh, yeah.
And here's what I will say, because I love you and I have known you a really long time. You definitely put other people's needs above your own. I love your face.
Me?
No. This is why we have to record, because that was gold. What? No. And I think that if I could, I think for someone like you who is so geared to caring and protecting other people, which by the way, the most beautiful attribute you can have is that attribute. But like, I think to you, it feels that extreme, like you're putting someone in between yourself and the reef.
Yeah.
And you need to. You know what I mean? Like, please don't hurt other people. I think our listeners understand that. But that's how important caring for yourself is, because someone who is totally exhausted can't protect and care for other people. Like that's just, you know, or to be honest, actually you can for a certain amount of time. But that time will expire. And
it usually expires in a big way. You know what it, like,
Yes.
It's not like, oh, I'm not just not as good at caring for other people right now. It usually is not pretty. And yes, I see that road. I'll work on it.
I see it. Okay. but visualize it. That's so awesome. But I do really like that analogy. And so, sorry, I kind of digressed. Let me go back thinking on coping to care. I have just now realized, because I've been spending a lot of time, like, what is a coping? What is my like primary coping skill? Healthy, specifically healthy. Yeah. And I've kind of thought about it. And I have realized it is to do nothing. Like, if I honor that, like, say it's been like a really intense and my job revolves a lot around federal policy. So this, right. Sometimes at the end of the day, I am exhausted and emotionally just dry as a bone.
Yes.
If I just give myself, even it's even like 20 minutes of just like do nothing, I can spring back into coping, like, or into like self-care, like, so then I can do artistic projects. I can, but it has taken me till 41 years old to realize that if I just do nothing for a little hot second,
yeah,
I can really come back. Like, it's so funny how long it takes us to learn.
Well, because I 100% agree. And I remember years ago, and I was in therapy, and literally my homework was like, no, you can't do anything. And they were like, for a full day. And I was like, not gonna happen. I'll give you 4 hours.
You can have 4 hours.
But it was, I mean, the homework truly was like, sit on the couch and do nothing. Yeah. That is the homework. And I think we hear the word coping and we all agree and it sounds good and we should do it. It's like, okay, what, make a list of things I do to cope, when really it can be, for a lot of us, I think, the do nothing at all.
That's right. That's right.
Let your body rest, let your mind rest, let your spirit rest. So then you can go back into the world. It's such a great one. And hard to do. I want to honor it might be hard to do for some of us. It was very hard. I'm still not great at it.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have a partner that recognizes it. Like, just the other weekend, Jeremy was like, I'm like, I have so much work to do and I need to do the yard. And I'm listing all these things. And he's like, no. You have to stop. You have to stop and do nothing today. So if you've got the right people in your life, they can help you cope.
It's such a huge deal to have that too. That is another one of those. Yeah. That's just a beautiful sign that you are with the right person. If they are encouraging you to take like positive mental health steps.
Yeah. And you don't need permission, but if you think you do, me and Annie are giving you permission.
100%.
We are writing you a prescription to do nothing.
Yes. And I want to, like, there's kind of two pieces I'll touch on. It is an immense privilege that I have to have 20 minutes to myself.
I
recognize that there are seasons in life when you have small kids that is pretty much impossible. Like,
yeah.
And I would encourage people to access the support systems that you have. If you are privileged and blessed enough to have support systems, and to prioritize those coping sections for yourself. Like,
right.
Do you have a relative that can come over and sit with the kids for 30 minutes while you just go upstairs and take a breather? And our culture is not built around that. We do not have like a standard of care. You know, in the United States, that's really not valued.
Yeah.
So it will feel weird. Like, it'll feel really odd. But I encourage people to do it and just so you know, I know this is hard for people to hear. Sometimes when you reach out for help, that strengthens your community.
100%.
Yes. And you'd be surprised how many people it's their joy to provide and to just hold and care. So I encourage you to prioritize that. I also want to say that it is going to feel super weird. And that's not your fault. It's because societally we don't We don't put a lot of like stock into that. We definitely undervalue mothers. Like, so I want to validate all those feelings of it feeling weird, but my clinical advice would be to prioritize it.
And you have to. So then you can do that next step of caring.
That's
for
right.
yourself and for others. You can't
yeah.
fight the patriarchy if you're
That's
in
right.
survival mode, right? So
yeah.
take your 20 minutes and then go sign that letter or
That's
go
right.
to that protest or whatever it is in your community, big or small, that you're choosing to do. Like if you need that 20 minutes to then go do it, take it. You're worth it. You deserve it. And it will only help you to do that next step.
Oh, man, that is so awesome. Oh. Your lips to God's ears. Perfectly said.
Straight there.
It's straight there. Just straight there. I really do love that. And that really is my point of encouragement. Also, if you're beginning your mental health journey, right? Like you're not like, you don't have a coping skill. You can just pop out, right?
Yeah.
That is okay. This is a
yes.
great time to, and like hashtag throwback mental health measures, to kind of start evaluating your own behavior. So when do you
yeah.
feel good? When do you feel relaxed? When do you, and again, and we say this a lot on the podcast, but if you can't identify that, this is a great time to get a therapist. That, we say this a lot. If someone came to me for therapy and that was their goal, how much fun would that be to like go through a therapeutic exploration process with someone who was trying
yes,
to.
Please.
You guys, your therapist is going to be so jazzed to work on you with this. Like, oh,
yes.
My. Oh, like I'm jealous of your future therapist. You know, like you're going to have such a good time. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage, like, you know, if you're not sure, you know, for me, it's alone time.
Yeah.
But if you're not sure what that coping skill is for you, that's a healthy coping skill again.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't even know the difference between healthy and unhealthy coping skills.
It,
Then
yes, 100% a therapist if you can. If you can't, just try stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Google a list and try stuff.
I love that.
You it's impossible to know what's going to work for you until you try it. And always a therapist, 100% always a therapist. I just want to honor that some people can't afford that, can't find one, don't feel like you have the time to go to one. Like, I'd like to work on all of that with you because it's that important to make time for. But if you can't, Google a list of healthy coping.
Yeah.
Start trying some stuff.
ChatGPT will give you a huge list.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, I don't think that AI should be your therapist, right?
Oh, please no.
But tool in your tool belt, right?
Yes.
Like, let's use it as a tool. Let's, you know, like, and we'll definitely do an episode on AI because that has also been a huge launching platform that has led to some policy changes and things like that, which will be great. We'll talk about that in the future. But I think right now I really want to focus on making sure that listeners are honoring themselves, are caring for themselves, and that they're doing it in a way that allows them to stay alert and stay active into what's actually happening on the policy side. And
go big.
I heard a wonderful speaker. This was really helpful because I am a bureaucrat, so I don't like to talk politics, right? And I'm a social servant, so my job is to remain bipartisan, right? Like,
right.
And that's
right.
an important aspect. What was really helpful is we had a policy expert come up from DC and she spoke at a Children's Alliance conference in Ohio. And what she explained was we are not talking politics. We are talking policies. These are policies that have been written and how they impact the people we serve. So she's like, this helps you kind of just separate those two pieces. Like, we're not here to talk politics. Let's talk policy. And so I really appreciated
that.
Oh, it was so helpful for me. I loved that because that really helps it go fact over feeling too, of like, this yeah. actually was written into legislation, and this is going to happen because A, B, and C. And so that has really helped shape my perspective and how I articulate what's happening. And it's why it's so important to me that listeners are caring for themselves, because the news I have is that what's being written into policy is so much worse than what's being talked about. I know that's really hard to hear. And again, why I really want to stress that we are caring for ourselves so that we can stay active. But there are policies being written that are so actively discriminatory against anyone that isn't a white Christian nationalist.
Right.
And that is very concerning. And it's why, listeners, I need you to care for yourselves and care for your communities, because we're facing a really hard time policy-wise.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my little bit of good news for everybody.
We'll call it news. I'll give you news.
Okay. It's good. This is the news section. Whether it be good, whether it be bad.
I'm not going to say good, but I'll take it as news. But I think what you said earlier was important. Like, we can't just ignore this because it doesn't feel good. And I think it's okay for us to take care of ourselves and say, hey, I can't watch the news. Mental health wise, I can't do that. But then you still need to find an appropriate way to get the right information, the right facts, the right policy outside of the world of crazy news making that goes on.
Yes.
Because this does affect you. It affects your neighbor. It affects your community.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to ignore it. You don't have to live in it. You don't have to
watch
MSNBC or Fox 24/7. But you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
You just got to find those safe, factual news stations or papers or however you prefer to get your information. And sometimes it is easier to read it. It's like, I can take that same story that they put on the news with all the sad pictures, and I can put that in an article, and then you can digest that a little bit easier sometimes. So finding the right source that doesn't fan the flames either way for you.
Yeah.
But gets you the good information to really think about and then hopefully do something about.
I love that. I love that so much. And I think a hashtag throwback to this concept of reading it might sometimes is easier, because
I think we did talk about that.
Very sensationalized, and that is difficult. I think one of the things I've been talking to a lot of my coworkers about is this concept of trying to not be in an echo chamber. And so one of the things that I do for myself is I have people that I love and trust in very different fields, right? I am like a social worker by trade, unashamed. I have a code of ethics I have to follow, you know, so that is a very, very specific lens.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that experts in their fields outside of mine, I want to know their perspective. And that really helps make sure that I'm on the right path. So that's a really important way to fact check, right? Is to talk to experts in other fields and see what's happening. And so I have a couple of relatives that are in the military. That has always been a really help, because that lens is like vastly different from a social worker.
Very much.
I have relatives that are like doctors. That's, again, that's got a little bit of alignment with a social worker, but it is very different, right? Like, and so kind of paying attention, listening to their narratives, and seeing like what are their facts saying is a super important way. And I always use those to shape my perspective, because it's so important. There's an interesting string of information, quote unquote information. So a little I, not a capital I, right? Like, it's not real information. I thought that was pretty funny. It's a little bit of a joke, guys. I just really thought of myself as a nerd there. So, but that is not based in any sort of source or fact, or, and usually that is being repeated over and over and over again. And in that case, like, people can actually hypnotize and brainwash themselves, right, by absorbing that content. So I loved your point of the classic news outlets, and a lot of social media content, be very careful about like taking in too much of it.
Well, I think that goes back to what you were just saying. Like, even if you do, like, you've got to get different perspectives and get that information different people in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, there are some, you know, people on social media, whether it's personal or not, like, I'll follow that are definitely on the other side. And I'm not following them because I believe the same things they believe. But I think it's important to stay informed and to know what that section of people are hearing and telling themselves. Because if I completely shut myself off to it, there's no way to have discussions, to understand.
Yeah.
And I get you might have to be a little further on your mental health journey.
Yeah.
To try and understand the other side can be very difficult. And I don't expect everyone to immediately do it. But it's something that I need.
Yeah.
To feel like I can stay informed and make progress. If I just don't listen and don't talk and don't participate with any of those people, I think I can spiral the other way. So if you can.
Yeah.
All that to be said. Yeah. Different perspectives, different people, take all of it in the little pieces and ways that you can, I think will help, rather than just like, I'm just going to turn the news on 24/7. Cause that doesn't help. If it's that one station all day long, forget it.
Yeah.
It's not healthy for anybody.
Yeah. It's really not, because even if, because news places are going to focus on things that are going on that are negatively affecting you. It's why you watch the news. You need it, right? You need to know.
Right.
Right. Absorbing 24/7 negative content all day. One, you're not investing in your community because you're listening to this content. So right away, that's a red flag. But the other thing is, like, we were not meant to absorb negative content as beings. We are by nature relational, sensitive beings. That's a beautiful thing. Get out, go be in relationship. There's some pretty interesting studies coming out from the younger generation, and particularly young, like sex assigned at birth males, are becoming more reliant on AI for personal relationships. And again, very specifically males. And that same chunk of males, I think they said 1 out of 5 in that age category cares and believes in women's rights. And that is a really, I think that's something that we need to be like paying attention to. And as the older generation kind of modeling, like, becoming less reliant on screens, on AI, on things like that, and really shepherding this younger generation, because we just as a species, we are built for relationship. If 80% of everything you're doing is geared to keep you in relationship, that's just who we are as a species. So, anyway, very interesting things to follow. All of it seems a bit intense and it seems a little bit difficult, and we can do this. It's important that we know what's happening
100%.
And we care for ourselves, and then we will find a solution together. Like, community, 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 go hang out with your friends, go call your friends. This is just like my advice for the people listening.
Yeah.
Text your buddies, go bowling. Go do something fun with your friends. Like, go to a park. If it's nice out, go to a park. Parks are wonderful because they're free.
They're a little reset. They're a nice little reset. Yeah.
They are. It's just so beautiful. Get out in nature. You know what? I think that's my number one advice, is to get out in nature with your friends.
Yes.
Yep. However you can. Yep. Go touch a tree. Just go touch a tree. Hang out with it for a little bit.
Or that's leaf. Probably... I don't know. There might be, leaf. There might not be a tree somewhere. Get yourself a plant in your house. I'm thinking of the people that maybe live like places that truly there aren't accessible trees or something, but like nature is so important. Any little bit.
Yeah.
You can get, sometimes honestly, it's like, I just got to open the window and get some outside air in, like, and not even because I need it to cool down or warm up. I'm not talking about like I need to regulate temperature, but I need real nature in my lungs right now, you know? So it can be small things. And I just want people to know that every little step counts. It all counts. If you go look in the mirror and just realize you do have these glasses on, that counts. That's a step in the right direction.
Love that. Yep.
So like pat yourself on the back for any little step you're making. You have to do that to get to where you want to go, where we need you to go, where this country needs you to go. So keep taking those little steps in the right direction. Because they matter.
They so matter.
They matter.
And not only will your community benefit from you taking off your glasses, but I want you to know as an individual, it's so much better. Like,
yes,
I have chills just saying that. And I know it can feel so scary. And you're so right. When you first take them off, man, you're vulnerable. You're just starting to realize, oh shit, I probably did a lot of fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
But it is so, so worth it. And it's never too late to take the glasses off. Like,
yeah,
I loved that call out from you. Like, it doesn't matter what age, it's always good. And if you're starting that journey, reach out. You can email us. You can throw it on our website. We would love to share those feelings because it isn't easy. We recognize that, but it's so good. It's what I hope for everybody. You know, like, I think there's a part of it that, especially if you're just taking the glasses off, is going to feel like it will never get better. You know, like you're like taking them off. You're like, oh my God, you're going to spiral. You're going to see all these terrible things.
It looks so awful at first.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways it is.
It like, is.
It's almost like the Matrix, right? Like when you, at first when they like realize, you know, he first gets out and he's, you know, getting all the things and it's just really sad and the ship kind of looks dreary and, but then like, you know, I don't really love all of the Matrix movies, but you know, when they're having that big, like sexy orgy, which does look awesome when they're all together, I think in Zion, right? I'm not sure that's right. That's how awesome it can be, you guys.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I think of it sort of like, I wish we could look at it like through the lens of like a baby, right? Who's like, just learning to walk, like think of, like they don't know how scary it can be and you can trip and fall and things might hurt, but like they just go into this like, oh shit, look what I can do now, like that's I can be in charge of myself and take myself places, like try, yes it's scary and let's deal with that and handle that, but then try to switch your framework to like, I'm in charge of me now, no, like I get to do this now. I get to go places and do things and make changes that are important to me because I know more and I can do more and I am a full person and I don't have this thing stuck on me that has kept me in this box. Like the door opened. Go. Let's go. You didn't know there was a door. There's a door.
It's
Let's
there, go. Mm-hmm. It's exactly right. It's in a whole new world. Like, and yes, it's a world that has scary things in it for sure. But it's also like got these beautiful things and it is so worth taking the glasses off. I think that narrative will probably be a lot of this season of just this concept of like, you know, really working with our listeners to kind of pull those off and enjoy this magical world that is that we really need people to take the glasses off so that we can support communities, we can live healthy, we can care for ourselves, we can care for others. It's going to be beautiful.
We can vote if you just voted recently.
Did you have fun voting?
Oh yeah, always.
I love voting.
I just think, like, as a country, all those like voting results, I was like, yes, more people taking the glasses off. Here we go.
That's right.
We can make a difference. Things can change and get better. We can work together. We can try to be respectful. We can be respectful. We don't try. We can. It's hard, but we can.
Yeah. I mean, I slip and fall every once in a while.
Well, we all do. We all try our best. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Oh, it's so true. I'm doing
And then
my
go
best.
Take a nap because you need it.
Yes, that's right.
Then
yes.
Go do nothing.
Oh, boy, I love naps. I'm so grateful for listeners, for you spending time with us. I'm so excited to be back this season. And I'm very grateful for the time that we took in between. And I really needed it to get here and ready. But I am stoked. I think, you know, we've got some really good modules coming up. Yeah. And we are so excited to talk to you, to hang out with you. To be any kind of tool in your tool belt, that is like my absolute joy.
Oof.
Oh, I can't think of anything cooler
than to be a tool in someone's tool belt. Best day ever. Life goal achieved. I mean, give me a break.
Goal achieved. That's exactly right. But yeah, join us for this season and on a video platform. Feel really good about that.
You're welcome, everyone. Now you can stare at our faces.
Mm-hmm. And my house plant. It's getting really cold here. So the house plants, it's actually kind of one of my favorite times of year because you get to bring all the plants back into the house because it's so tropical here during the summer that my indoor plants can go outside. And it's such a fun part because now they're all back inside, which I know it's silly, but I sort of prefer them inside because I love having plants inside. And so
there you go.
These ones, this is their first year inside. So when it's summer here, these go on like the little front stoop. But I was like, I'm going to put it in my office and get some like greenery and fresh in here. And I love it. Yeah.
Welcome in, plants. Welcome in.
Welcome in. Just a